Welcome to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me this wonderful day on VFN Radio, let me catch my breath, is the producer, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And from the streets in the city of NYC, the man, the one and the only man on the radio today at VFN Radio, John Ramos. He'll be joining us in a little bit. We have so much to share with you today. Oh my goodness, can you imagine that your boss, the owner of the company, just tells you, listen, this is where we're going to go with the company, and all of a sudden you take his company from him and you begin to do the business? It's like, what happened? We're going to hear God's perspective when God begins to tell you something through those that he's put in your life. Understand he's going to lead you through that something with those leaders who shared that with you. So don't get ahead. Don't get behind. Stay on time with God. We're also going to be talking more about the explosion that took place last night, the horrific tragedy that took place in West Texas around 7 p.m. Last night, where many people lost their lives, and they're still trying to put this fire out in this fertilizer plant. I mean, what is going on in America? What's going on in America? And so much more, including the Malachi prophecies. We're going to continue the interviews about this is the last pope, they say, and this one will bring in. Well, we'll find out what they bring in. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Pat Hamilton, the producer, is joining us today.
Hello.
And John in a few moments. VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. Here we are. Oh my goodness. Here we are. You know, the only way that you can get away and take a break from the fulfillment of so many words that you know that's taking place is just shut off every form of media. And that's why we're here at VFN Radio, because we want to give you the light perspective, the word perspective. Right. We don't want you to be trembling and terrified of the signs. We want you to be fearful of the Lord. You know what I'm saying? And he'll protect you. Because this is what the word of God says. It says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Think about it, a strong, fortified tower. And the righteous, those that are righteous, according to Romans chapter 5, under the blood of Jesus, because we receive a gift of righteousness when we repent and give our lives to God and follow him, the righteous run into it and are saved. Mm. Isn't that awesome?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Listen, you're going to need the tower, the name of the Lord. You're going to need where we're going and why we're here. And the only reason we're doing this, it's because we love you and we want you to know about this. And Ezekiel 33, I believe it is, says that if we didn't do this, then people who don't run in to the name of the Lord, and because they didn't know about it because nobody told them, then that person's blood would be on our hands.
That's wow.
Right. It's 37 maybe. But yeah, listen, he says, but if they repent, he says, if they hear what you're saying, if they hear the warning, if they hear you say, hey, a storm is being fashioned against you, but if you turn, I'll turn the storm.
Mm-hmm.
Not only are you safe, but if enough respond, the storm ceases to exist. Think about it. Who is this that the storms obey? Who can hold their hands out and say, peace, be still? Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Listen, there's a storm in your life right now, and there's a storm around you, and probably there's a storm on your television news. I want to tell you that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And the righteous, made righteous through their faith in Jesus Christ, making him the Lord of their life, can run into that name, in the name of Jesus, and be saved. Isn't that beautiful? Mm. That's just beautiful. That's what I encourage you this morning, because I know we're hearing, you know, report after report of this horrific marathon bombing that we've already talked about already, and just, you can listen to a previous program. I don't want to go there emotionally again, But yeah. I didn't have time to get over that before all of a sudden somebody, some man that's held captive by obviously Second Heaven, mm-hmm. begins to mail envelopes to our government officials.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, what are you doing? And that's the yeah. devil, dude. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't, you're supposed to pray for those in authority over you.
That's right.
You know,
they arrested
saying?
Him already.
Good. Very good. Yeah, I heard they arrested a whole bunch of people, then they came back and said, never mind, we didn't. You know, I never know which one they're, you know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
Yeah, there's so much going on right now.
But very good, very good. So that was the suspect that was in Mississippi.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Lord, we thank you yep. for justice in that.
That's
we
right.
We just pray protection, Lord, over all of our leaders, that any of these crazy situations would be stopped.
Yeah, absolutely.
It would be stopped, Lord, because we want to have a peaceful life, right?
That's right.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's what he says, that if you pray for those in authority over you, then you'll mm-hmm. have a peaceful life.
That's right.
Listen, you know, we need peace.
Right.
You know, you can't afford the Prozac, right? So it's just because peace.
That's right.
You can either you have peace or Prozac, but you can't have them both. They have different names for a lot of stuff nowadays. I don't know what it is. But let me tell you this. We're going to be sharing with you today. If you missed, first of all, if you missed yesterday,
wow,
you got to get it. You got to listen to it. Go to the highlights, listen to it. It's the name of it is A Prophetic Word.
Yep, The Convergence of a Choir of Prophetic Words.
Isn't that, it's beautiful. That's what happened. Wow. And we're actually watching all the parts of the choir sing, and we're amazed. By the time we got done with yesterday's program, we were just sitting in awe and just saying, oh, it's all coming to pass. Every bit of it's coming to pass. I mean, words from Rick Joyner, Morningstar Ministries, Steve Hill Ministries, Peter Wagner,
John Paul Jackson,
words the Lord has given myself and given John, and it's like, it's happening so quickly, and it's like, you got to get it. If you really want to get, you know, so often, you know, people can spend their whole life in a dying process only to be able to write a book or preach a message so you can hear what they died for in 20 minutes or 30 minutes or 60
yeah.
minutes. And I think about Joe Martin, you know, you think about that. He says, you know, people just won't, good morning, Joe. Not Joe. Good morning, Joe Martin. Anyway, so, and that people pay him money to be able to go and talk about what he read because they won't read it. People just don't read it, you know.
Yeah.
Hope I didn't give away your secrets. Anyway, so, and so in the context of that, but that's okay with God. God, you know, we have Moses' experience. We have Abraham's experience. We have all those that have gone before us as experiences, and there's a lot to that one little verse or that one chapter of somebody's life.
That's right.
I mean, Gideon was much more to him than three chapters, you know what I'm saying? He was, mm-hmm. and so, but you can read their experiences, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can, and I'm telling you, yesterday's program, you know, it's obviously not everything, but I believe it's so anointed that if you just relax, shut down all the noise, and say, Lord, I'm ready to receive a word from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And just began the convergence prophetic. What's it called? What's the title of it?
The Convergence of a Choir of Prophetic Words.
Right.
Ineptocracy. Unless America turns, America will burn.
Yeah.
And the coming great awakening.
Yeah, I mean, you got
it's
it.
It's just full circle. I mean,
yeah.
It's just full circle. So
yeah.
much in this word.
So you can find that on the, obviously just listen to the program. You can go to the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the torch. I think it's on the right side right now, right? Right side.
It's still there.
And your titles on the VFN TV, VFN Radio app, obviously you're not going to have that whole title, so you'll probably hear the first part of the title that says something like...
The Convergence.
Yeah, look for Convergence is the key word. And just relax and listen to it. And just say, God, speak to me. You know, if this is a warning for me, you know, I want to respond, because the reason why God warns, the reason why a father warns their children is because he loves them and he's warning. And a stop sign is a warning. I mean, think about this. People say, I can't believe this red light. This traffic light is just stopping me all the time. Okay, let's just take the traffic light out. There's no more traffic signals, no traffic signs.
Mm.
And you got four roads converging right there, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how are you going to fill in your life without... I mean, you're going to be, you know, you just don't ever know,
right?
And so what a traffic light does, what a stop sign does, what a yield sign does, it warns you that you need to be careful because you can die.
Yeah.
You know, because somebody else who's not paying attention to the signs will run that red light or traffic light or run that stop sign. And because you paid attention to the signs of the times, because you paid attention to the warning, you just put your foot on the brake and thought, what am I doing? I don't care what they're saying out there in the religious world. This is what God's word says. I'm going to start reading it and doing it. I'm going to be a hearer and a doer. That's what a warning is. A stop sign is just letting you know. Think about it. Think about any wherever you're at in the world, including South Korea. Good morning to Amy. Imagine going through an intersection without any traffic signs or traffic devices to warn you that you're about to cross an intersection. I mean, you don't need one when you're going on a straight line, a straight road. But when you're about to cross an intersection, and listen, America is in the middle of an intersection, and we're all going through it. And yesterday's program and many of the prophetic words, but yesterday's program will just increase your appetite to know more and give you enough to know, my goodness, Lord, open my eyes. Open the eyes of my heart that I might see. And so you don't want to miss it. You can get it on the VFN TV app. You can get it on at the torch at VFNTV.com and click on the torch. Don't miss it. Also, go ahead.
On the app, you know, you can find it also by looking for the image on the left-hand side called Prophetic Word. Prophetic Word. And that's kind of highlighted there, made plain and in red, so that you can definitely be, find it more easily.
This fertilizer plant, and it's not the west side of Texas. It's actually called West City, Texas. And so I'm sitting there thinking, how can it be West Texas if it's south of Dallas?
Yeah,
and it's about 80 miles south of Dallas. It's about 60 miles west of Fairfield, where I just recently had some barbecue and all that out there. And the plume cloud, supposedly toxic, is blowing towards Dallas.
Wow.
And just pray that the rain would come and just bring this thing down. It's too big. From understanding, they can't find some of the firefighters. They're still trying to locate people. They're doing like what we've seen during the hurricanes, where they're going into a house and putting an X on it, and the X, different parts of the X, lets you know whether there's somebody was in the house, if the people were alive, or if the people were hurt, or the people were deceased. And 75 houses reportedly, according to, I believe, ABC News or Fox News, is leveled, just leveled.
Wow.
You know, and not just damaged, leveled, and there's, of course, many more. And you can go right now to the torch. You can go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, and you can see a video. A father and his daughter was, and you know, you have your phones, and obviously, like, you had an iPhone or something.
Yeah.
And so they're riding past this fertilizer plant that's on fire. And you're thinking that's it, you know.
Right.
And so he's videoing it as he's either riding slow or stopped. I don't know what it is right now, but you can see. And it wasn't over. So he's holding his phone when one of some of the biggest explosions happened out the window in his truck. And all of a sudden, the percussion of the explosion hits their ears. I mean, similar to what's happened in Boston. And so the little girl starts to say, she says, I can't hear. I can't hear. Get out of here, Daddy. Get out of here. I mean, just, you got to see this on the torch right now. To see this. This is, you know, Lord, we need your blessing on this man. You know, we need God's protection.
So Warren, the video is shocking. I mean, they're quite a distance away. It's not like they were right on top of it. They were way, maybe, I don't know, a football field's length away, it appears. And they're just kind of watching it from a distance. And when you see that explosion,
It literally wrapped around the fireball. It was just like, you know, wake up, America. We need to wake up. See, understand God's blessing. Don't try to logically figure anything out at this point. Our minds have gotten us in trouble. What we need to do is submit our mind, hold our thoughts captive, and make them obedient to Jesus Christ.
Right.
Go to your heart and think, Lord, you can protect us from our ignorance. You can keep us from making mistakes. You can prevent even, you know, terrorists from coming in our nation. You can give us the wisdom for this. And people say, well, that's, you know, and it could be an industrial, well, nobody knows, but it could be an industrial accident. But don't you want God to help? God helps me with everything that I'm doing. He'll help us and say, you know, whoever owns that plant, whoever's the safety officers, that He will just give you an extra touch from His grace to make sure that city's safe. God, that's not God's plan for that city. But if you don't turn to God, if you don't say, God, I need your help to run this company, and if you're just an employee there, you can still be like Joseph and say, hey, God, we need you to bless this business, and you can pray over it, because there's two fertilizer plants in West City. They're all over the place. That's actually what Timothy McVeigh used, from what I understand. Wow. When they make bombs out of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And if they're making, if they make bombs from it, and it's actually, you got one of those plants near you, I guess that place is like a bomb.
Wow.
You know, they're all surprised. A lot of people just didn't realize what could happen in that plant. I'm not into the chemicals and explaining how they work or anything like that, but just.
Well, interesting that you say that, because Fox News is reporting that other witnesses have compared the scene to that of the 1995 Oklahoma City bombing. And authorities said that the plant made material similar to that used to fuel that bomb that tore that building apart.
What the heck are we putting on our grass and our plants? I mean, what are we doing? What is that stuff?
Toxic.
What is it?
Toxic.
Yeah, it must be very toxic.
It's very, very toxic. And sad to say, it appears, I mean, Fox is reporting that people are looting these neighborhoods now. I mean,
are they looting the neighborhoods?
Can you believe this? Can you believe this?
Detroit.
Looting reported after the explosion. This is just horrible.
Well, Lord, we just pray right now for those families, Jesus, and those firefighters, Lord, that they would be rescued, and everybody who has not yet found, that you would just cause them to be found and be saved, yes, and comfort the families, Lord, that lost their loved ones and their property, God. And Lord, help us.
Yeah.
Help us. You know, I was listening yesterday to BFN Radio where we were talking about the plank, you know, walking the plank.
Mercy.
And the plank of mercy.
Yeah.
And we need to, that needs to be a highlight for you, just to hear walking the plank of mercy, because mercy only goes so long. And think about, you know, pirate situation where, you know, they're making you walk the plank and you're blindfolded, but they probably chum the water as well. So when you go down, you're actually, there's sharks eating the chum. Chum is like bait and heads bait and blood. And so wouldn't it be really arrogant for a blindfolded man with his hands tied behind his back to start talking out loud, a man who can't see, a man who can't feel, to demand more plank?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm.
Isn't that a time to go, I'm sorry?
Yeah.
If there's anything I've done wrong, can we talk about this?
And be silent.
And be silent.
Say nothing.
And obedient. Be silent. Yeah. Silent and obedient. Right, and he says, the obedient will eat from the fat of the land. Right,
right.
And my goodness, you know, we are in a place of God's mercy. And listen to yesterday, because mercy ends when judgment begins, because mercy is not getting it. So understand, they don't mesh. I mean, there may be a merciful judgment, which obviously there will be, because this is not the end times or nothing. And it's just 5% of the population. America is, believe it or not, America, that that's how prideful we are. That, you know,
wow.
Yeah. And it's if we would have taken, listen, if we would have taken the blessing that God's given us, I mean, like I said, the poorest is wealthier than 80% of the world, and carried that finance, the food, the water, the resources to others. I don't know. Obey the Great Commission. You know, go into all the world. You know, and you remember, you know, walking. It was tough to get asleep in church to even walk out the door. You know, much less obey the commission, Great Commission.
That's right.
No,
right.
No, it was tough to get them to walk in the door. And so, but they got carnivals, and so. We have a word for you. You're going to be hearing more on the interview on the Malachi prophecy about, they're saying that this is the last pope, and it was prophesied over 900 years ago in the Malachi prophecy, and all these things have come to pass, and you're going to be shocked at this continuing interview. And if you missed the first two parts of the interview, you can get them on The Torch. You can go to vfntv.com and just look for the last pope, and then
The final pope.
The final pope. Okay, the final pope. And my goodness, my goodness. You're listening to VFN Radio, and we'll be right back.
Does a federal employee have the right to read the Bible during their free time in the workplace? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I work for the NWR Boys and Girls Club of America, and I work in the military base there. And they don't have somebody to work their front desk, and I've been filling in for them. And they told me that I just sit there, say hi to the parents, and answer the phones. And I'm allowed to bring music, or I'm allowed to bring a book or something. And I had my electronic Bible sitting there on the desk, and one of the military men told me that someone had gotten fired for that before, and I better be careful. Is what I'm doing against the law?
It's not against the law at all. I'll get some of our lawyers here at the American Center for Law and Justice and our legal staff to talk to you. The Bible's not a banned book on a military base. That's a really big overreaction on the issue, and they're clearly not giving you the law correctly. You have the right to have your Bible there during free time without any problem.
Do you have questions about your religious liberties? Get straight answers from ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
You know, you might be listening to the VFN radio right now and begin to hear what God's doing and how God has touched other people's lives. And then you might be asking yourself, you know, can God really use me? And you might be taking an account and looking back and what you've done in your life and think that God can't. Well, I want to encourage you that you can read stories and read through the transition of how God encountered other people's lives and look into to see what God did. I want to encourage you to read and check out meetmyfather.org. And on the right-hand side of that, you'll see read other testimonies, read other stories, and you can see how God used people just like you to draw people to himself. meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. You know, John, I think about the goodness of Jesus Christ when I hear about the joy and the goodness and the life and the celebration that I read in the Word of God that Jesus talks about. You know, when I hear about religion and I read the Word of God and I hear man's religion, then I hear Jesus, there's a big difference. And I hear about what Jesus is saying, and it's just like, I want to know the Jesus that Jesus talks about. I want the joy that Jesus talks about. And if you're ever wondering, how do I get that joy? How do I get that goodness, that life, that happiness that Jesus talks about? I want to encourage you, you can get that relationship. You can get that daily joy through abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. Go to iabide.org. Jesus Christ has love and he's got joy specifically for you. iabide.org. You know, John, a lot of conversations I've had with people, you know, people are expressing a lot of hardship and difficulties bringing up family, you know, bringing up fathers, you know, and families are really going through a lot of hardship right now, and it's difficult. It's hard being family. And, you know, personally, that's where I was as well. And when I got introduced to the VFN family, it totally encountered me in a new way. And Jesus Christ used the VFN family to just display his love and, you know, the power of his presence through the VFN family to just draw me to himself. And I just want to encourage you that if you've grown up and you just had a lot of hardships, a lot of difficulties, a lot of pains, and family's been difficult to you, I just want to encourage you that you know, the VFN family, we're just centered around Jesus Christ and just trying to love other people, love God, and just lead others to do the same. I just want to encourage you, check out vfnfamily.org.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John. John has, man, I'm excited to hear you begin to share with me. First of all, I want to say this, that I was so excited this morning when I got up at 3 a.m. I'm like, oh my goodness, I got to talk to somebody. And I'm just so glad I could call somebody in East Coast time. And of course, I first text, John, hey, you awake, John?
At 3 a.m.
No, I waited.
It was 3.
Was it? I got a text. I can find out. And of course, he goes, "Yeah, Joe, I'm awake. What's up?" And
what is doing it up at 3 o'clock?
Why is your phone by your bed?
Is it? It's not by. Oh my goodness, they're
your
watching
not
you.
By your bed.
Anyway, so the I just got this excitement in my heart. that everything's going to be okay for those that are God's. Not God's, but God's people that are following him. Apostrophe S. Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's important when the Mormon thing is going out there. It's like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, by the way, you can go to the VFN Torch and find out more about that. We're not going to talk about all that. And God loves everyone and wants everyone to be saved through his son, Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And
the
part
true
of the
and
Trinity.
Only one God.
Yeah, Trinity. Yeah, three. And so the and so I got a chance to really talk about to John about this. You got to hear this. You got to hear this. This is really encouraging to me, and it's very timely. So I just want everybody to listen to John as he shares. Well, your life may change as you know it. No messing with you. No, it's very encouraging. It really is. I'm excited about it.
You know, when God blesses us, right, and calls us to do something, it's important to do, you know, what God says the way God says it. It's very, very important, you know, thing here. And whatever God calls you to do, I mean, God is the one that's going to do the empowering. He's the one that's going to give you the grace, the empowerment to do what he's called you to do. Mm-hmm. That's so important.
Yes, it is.
And, you know, if God wants you to be at a certain place or have a certain job or do whatever it is that he lays on your heart to do, I mean, he knows how to position you. We talked that not too long ago about God's positioning system, his GPS. God knows how to get you where you need to be. And, you know, we've heard where God, you know, guides, he provides. I mean, he's in control. He's totally in control. But the thing is that if we take our eyes off of God and put them on ourselves, we totally forget that it was that this is all about what God's about to do. It's not about us.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You start to take your eyes off of God, all of a sudden put it on yourself. It's like, you know, we're just a small part in the story. But when we think about that the story is all about, you know, if we get caught up and think the story is about us, then we begin to move in pride and we feel like we have to make it happen. We got to do something about this. And think about it. How can we make happen what God said he was going to do? And just reminds me of when Abraham, God made a covenant with Abraham in Genesis 15, and God tells, you know, Abraham, your descendants will be as numerous as the sands on the seashore and as numerous as the stars in the sky. This is what he tells them. But not, you know, sometime later we find in the next chapter, you know, just several years later, by the way, it's like years, that there are other people that are trying to make happen what God told Abraham. Now, in Genesis 16, Sarai, his wife, this is what the Bible says. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. Sarah, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. And she said to Abraham, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my maidservant, and perhaps I can build a family through her. And it's like, wait a minute. Wait one second. Let's back this up here. Let's back this up, Sarai. Come sit down here. Come.
wasn't it I that heard? How all of a sudden now you were trying to bring to pass that, right?
Crazy.
Crazy thing like, is that he listened like we always, what did I listen for? Why? Ishmael, okay. Ishmaelisms, you know. I like Ishmael. Meet Ishmael. Ishmael. Yeah. Welcome to Ishmael Drive. You know, Ishmael Ministries. Ishmael
how
Incorporated.
Yeah, how many times has God said, you know, he's going to do something, but because of impatience, right, or pride or something, we go out there and try to make it happen, or we listen to other people make it happen. And that's the whole thing, that God made this covenant with Abram at the time, not with his wife. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And if you're a leader and God spoke to you, what are you doing allowing someone else to come up with a plan here?
You know why they do that? Because you're hoping that they actually change it. Like, hey, Alan, he's like, he took it to his board because he was hoping that they would tell him no. And then God rebuked him. He's like, what are you doing going to man and discussing with man what I told you to do? And of course, he did it. And then we all been blessed in the history for his ministry.
But into something?
Potentially. Or fear or whatever else.
Yeah.
But God's watching us when we do that, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
How offensive is that? It's like, you're going to take what the creator of the universe just told you to another man
Yeah.
You know what men are like. You're one.
Exactly. Fickle.
Yeah.
Right? So right. She has. So here's Hagar. You know, and Abram's like, okay. You know, okay. So the other thing is that she says that the Lord has kept her from having children. So, you know, here you go, sleep with my maidservant. Did it ever dawn on you, did it ever dawn on her, right, that if the Lord has kept you from doing something or, you know, that it's not supposed to happen when God says, you know, God is in control of the timing. God is in control of the timing.
She's just, it just has to be faster than this. Why is it taking so long?
I mean,
think about it. In our generation, this is back when they said, you ready to eat? And they go, yeah, okay, let me go kill the cow, cut a piece off.
Well, 10 years had passed from this time.
And cut some bread. I mean, this is just the meal for tonight. I mean, they were used to waiting for things.
Yeah.
Today, I mean, it's everything's instant.
Yeah.
And she was willing to wait that long just for dinner and fix it for dinner back then. And today, we don't wait for anything. And the question is, do we wait for God? Are we patient with God? I'm sorry, but you know what I'm saying? Because you think about, you know, here they are. If you're going to have milk with your whatever you're having, your toasty O's back then, I guess, that you had to go milk the goat or milk the cow. I mean, you're not going to have milk unless you wake up early in the morning and you milk that puppy and you pour it over that cereal that you probably ground out of a grinding mill. To be able to take the corn to the process. I mean, what I'm saying is this whole process. And she, I mean, just to think about it, you know, she had to be a patient woman. You know what I'm saying? Because it was a long time. I'm more patient than we are compared to us.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, we have like zero patience. We're like, everything has to be instant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And so, you know, she's like, you know, here, you know, since God's kept me from doing this, so... She took the approach, since she felt that she had to do it, I would imagine, you know, she said, I'm going to build you a family. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. She says, instead of saying, well, wait a minute, if God's kept this from happening, then maybe God's kept it from happening for a reason. You know what I'm saying? And it's so important that we understand that it's God's plan, God's way, and God's time. That's what equals success, right? Mm-hmm. If we miss any of these combinations here, it's, you know, not right. And if we're abiding with God, God's going to lead us. That's the whole thing. You don't have to be all panicky and nervous. Oh, my goodness, this is God's timing. No, listen, if you're abiding with the Lord and you're hearing his voice, let me tell you, God will direct you. He'll direct you what he wants you to do, when he wants you to do it, and how he wants you to do it. So
can you imagine laying on an operating table, and they have the oxygen mask on you. And the anesthesiologist, whoever gives you air, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they have the oxygen mask over your mouth and your nose, giving you air. Mm-hmm. And then you take that off of your face and you go, I am worried that I'm not going to have air. And it's like, I was just giving you the air to breathe.
Right.
Mm. When we start worrying, we're literally taking, I mean, the one that's giving us air to breathe, God gives us, he holds us, he's holding us together. I mean, look at Acts 17. He said he chose you, he chose your address, he chose your season, your time, and he's just doing that to see if you realize he's the one holding the oxygen mask to your face. He's the one, you know, will we acknowledge him? Will we reach out and touch him? And when we get worried, it's like, what are we, do we think that we were providing our own air 5 minutes ago or a year ago? No, all of a sudden, are we, you know what I'm saying? I'm just thinking about what you're saying that, and it's like, we can trust the God who's given us the air to breathe.
Yeah, you know, no doubt. So, okay, so what happens? You know, Abram takes a maidservant and a child is born, and all of a sudden, she's upset.
Tough notes. Now, what happened?
Well, you know, Abram, Sarah gives Abram her maidservant for a wife. They have a child.
Oh, yes. Ishmael, yeah, he has a child by her.
Hagar, Ishmael is born, you know, and the minute, you know, that Hagar's pregnant, she starts to resent Sarah,
her own advice.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you some news right here. If you take somebody's advice who didn't hear from God, you're going to have to take their complaints after you do what they told you to do. So if you just go ahead and deal with the upfront stuff up front, you won't have to worry about the shock and awe that you're going to have after following Hagar's advice or following Sarah's advice or you know, Bobby Joe's, depending where it's a man or a woman.
Right. Absolutely.
His face said absolutely. It was amazing. You should have seen that. It was amazing. Well, his forehead said absolutely.
There's a price to pay for leadership. Right. You got to lead. You got to lead. You got to lead. And it's because he wound up following her. She starts blaming him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
She starts blaming him. It's like, wait a second.
Right. Yeah.
This is your idea.
You know, and,
but, and then they go, I hope I'm not messing you up here, but then they go, the person goes, what? Yeah. And if at their corner, they go, you listen to me?
Yeah.
It's like, you're thinking, is this when Moses beat the rock? Is this when he beat the rock? Is this the moment, you know?
Right.
But you got to lead at the risk of losing those you're called to lead, because they will only be safe if you follow God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. And then she says, you know, Abram and Sarah, the big deal here is that they took their eyes off of the Lord and put it on themselves. You know, she said, perhaps I will build a house. I will build a family through her. And the thing is that you're not going to build anything that started in the heart of God. God's going to build what he wants. And if you build something, trust me, it ain't going to be God. It's going to be a something of out of your head, Tower of Babel. You know, that was something that came out of their head, not out of the plan of God, out of the heart of God. And the truth is that it wasn't about Sarah. It wasn't about Abraham. It wasn't even about the people of Israel, right? The promise. It was all about what God wanted to do. It was all about God. And it's, you know, I'm reminded about in Hebrews, it says through faith and patience, we inherit the promise. And the truth is that we got to get our eyes off of ourselves and listen, God, what are you saying to us in this hour? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to do it? When do you want me to do it? All of those are so important, because if you think that it's about you and if you think that it's about you trying to bring this thing to pass, I'm going to tell you, you're going to crash and burn.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about the words of Jesus in Matthew 10. You know, where he's finding out, who do we love? Because he says this in Matthew 10:32. He says, whoever acknowledges me before men, which means I'm going to do what he says despite what men say, I will acknowledge him before the Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, which means following somebody other than God in the context of that, I will disown him before the Father. Do not suppose that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be a member of his own household. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Well, it's not, he's not saying hating on people. He's just saying, with God, obedience is love. So if we obey man over God, when Abram obeyed Sarai over obeying God, that became a whole issue. When we do that, by the way, we're actually birthing a future struggle that you may not ever get rid of.
No.
It may be, we're still living with that struggle today. Mm-hmm. God says, I'm going to make a great nation out of the wrong advice. Right? He blessed Ishmael. And we're excited about this word. We'll continue to hear what God's saying through John after this break. You're listening to VFN Radio.
The Supreme Court heard oral arguments about Prop 8 and the Defense of Marriage Act on March 26th and 27th. And while the jury is still out, so to speak, Professor Helen Alvarez of George Mason University School of Law and Dr. Al Mohler, president of Southern Seminary, share their thoughts on what it could mean if the Supreme Court doesn't do something. It seems like I heard Justice Alito almost suggesting that the court should really just say, sorry, we're not going to make a decision here. We're going to let the states decide this. Is that likely? And if so, what are the implications for us as a culture and a country?
This would be as if Roe versus Wade there, the court would have said, it's not in the federal constitution, but you can do what you like in the states because the feds do not protect the unborn as a legal person. Here, they would be saying analogously, the feds do not have a constitutional right that a person can marry someone of the same sex so long as the laws allow people to marry people of the opposite sex, but you can do what you like at the state level because one man, one woman marriage also isn't the federal constitutional norm. Frankly, I think we'd have more of what we have now, just what Dr. Mohler was referring to earlier, which is, you know, a state-by-state struggle where Christians and other people of goodwill have to do what they should be doing already, which is living out and in their own lives and then speaking about what the full meaning of marriage is. I mean, then it's really a cultural, I don't want to use the word war, a cultural struggle for the near and long term.
You know, if you did take Roe v. Wade away, what you would be left with is something of a moral map of the United States, not in terms of every individual in all the affected states, but nonetheless, if you colored all the pro-abortion states one color and all the states that denied legal abortion another color, you would have a map that you would pretty much recognize just in terms of where you would expect more liberal states and less liberal.
Yeah.
But, you know, it wouldn't look like what most American liberals expect. In other words, the number of states that actually were pro-abortion back in 1973, it was actually a fewer number of states than most liberals remember. I mean, for instance, the law liberalizing abortion, making it legal in the state of New York, passed in the Senate of New York by one vote. Mm. Only one state by voter initiative legalized abortion. That was the state of Washington. So it turns out that the people on even the issue of abortion back in 1973 were considerably more conservative than liberals want to remember. And on the issue of marriage, I think it would be profoundly even more true.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would just end up with a moral map of the United States. It wouldn't be a perfect picture of what those of us who would want to honor marriage would want, but it would be far more honest, not to mention far more democratic, than having a judicially imposed uniformity at the cost not only of the sanctity of human life, but now of the integrity of marriage.
Hear the entire conversation with our guests about the erosion of marriage at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to BFN Radio every day, we're 24-7, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan, to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to at VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire 2-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, to just partner on a monthly basis, to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John. John, you're just talking to us about how important it is to remember how God spoke to us, through who he spoke to us, And it was just, it's an awesome thing. You know, keep on. Let us know, man. This is so important.
Well, it's important that we just keep our eyes on God. When God's the one that says something to us, that we don't internalize it and make it about us. We don't take our eyes off of God and put them on us. If God's said it, then he's going to do it. He's going to provide. He's going to lead us. He's going to guide us. And we only live to do what he wants us to do anyway. So if he says, go, go. If he says, go there, do this, we do this. But he does it. He does it. He empowers us to do it. We don't do it ourselves. And what Sarah got all messed up on, and Abraham, is that they took their eyes off of God. God was the one who told Abraham, listen, I'm going to make you and your descendants as numerous as the sands in the seashore and as numerous as the stars in the sky. God said, I'm going to do that. And they took that call, that vision, and took it upon themselves. And the truth is that all these three components have to work. It's God's plan, it's God's way, and it's in God's timing. When you have all three of those together, then God, you know, his blessing, success is there. But when we step outside of God, when we start doing our own thing, let me tell you something. Look at Ishmael. Ishmael today, we're still dealing with those consequences. We're still dealing with what happened because they stepped outside of what God said. And if you're called to lead, you got to lead. You know, Abraham didn't lead. He did not lead in that particular case. And let me tell you, there was grace and mercy for Abraham. I mean, the promise still came and God still used them.
It's his bosom that will be welcomed and the father of faith. He actually is the tip of the spear of a man who believed God.
Yeah.
And obeyed God, those things together, was a complete work of faith. He's the father of that.
Father of faith.
Father of faith. And it's his blessings that we receive, the blessings of Abraham, because he did. Which is, isn't that encouraging, though? Because, I mean, he was human on his journey.
Yeah.
But he repented and was willing to even lay down the promise.
Mm. Through faith and patience, through faith and patience, we'll inherit the promise.
Mm. And like we were saying earlier, that's very good, John. What we're saying earlier is that what kind of patience is there today?
Mm.
You know, in a blessed land, as blessed as we are, that we don't have to wait for, I mean, we have drive-through windows where you get food in 30 seconds and people are going, what's taking you so long? It's like, they're creating you a whole meal and they're fixing to shove it out a window. This used to not be normal. You know, I remember when they just started Kentucky Fried Chickens in China, and the Chinese did not know how to respond to getting food out of a window. So they would drive past the window, they would get the chicken, and then the meal, whatever the meal was, and then they go park in the parking lot. Then they would come in the restaurant to eat the food there.
Yeah.
And we've had these blessings for so long that we blow the horn or demand or whatever, you know, I don't know, that, and if it's not out there in 2 seconds or 2 minutes, and, you know, it's like, they're preparing food that you're going to have a meal, and Lord, help
in
us. Yeah, help us. What's that?
In minutes. In minutes. They do fast food in minutes, and you're still banging on the, oh, you missed my pickles.
Oh, right.
Does this have mustard in it? Or, you know, it's like, what?
Yeah, I remember, you know, obviously, this is not too far back, but if you were going to eat something, I mean, you young generation listeners, this is going to amaze you. If you wanted to eat something, you had to project. You had to project, not as far as Sarah had to project, but you had to project. I mean, you have to raise the cow back then and everything.
Yeah,
but you had at least project what you're going to want to eat, and you had to settle for whatever you projected for because everything else is frozen.
Yeah,
and then. If you just decided to change your mind and you didn't project, you were left in front of a running tap water with whatever you were going to eat up under the water, going, hurry up, waiting for the water to thaw out the whatever you were going to eat.
That was frozen.
Which is very dangerous, by the way. That's why we have so much strong bacteria in us today, right? You know, that warm water stuff.
That's why my stomach's so strong.
It's amazing. it is definitely let's move on. And so but think about that. Remember that? And then I remember getting our first microwave. It had this big old dial on it. You know, it had like three numbers on it. One button. You'd put the dial on and you push start. And we got it. Dad had brought it, you know, and brought it in the home. And we all stood in front of it. And we put something in it. And we're probably getting nuked at that time because they probably made that well.
Oh, my gosh.
And the lights are going, you know, it wasn't like that. And we watched something cook. And it was amazing that it could cook at whatever time frame it did.
Yeah.
And popcorn popper probably what it was back then. And so, but then we found out about if you cook eggs in a microwave, a whole yolked egg, that you're not supposed to do that. We didn't know that. And so Dad fixed up some eggs or something in the microwave, like a fried egg or a poached egg or whatever. And we're sitting there about around the table and we're about to eat. And all of a sudden Dad's plate just went boom. And the egg just blew up in his plate and blew up all over the place. Oh, I'm telling you, man. It's just things we learn. Listen, we went through all this training for you today so you can cook your food because that egg yolk had microwaves still inside the yolk. And when you pulled it out, it was bouncing around inside the yolk and it literally just blew up.
Oh, it blew up after the chicken.
You're talking about getting an egg on your face. We were all sitting around with egg and we just shocked. We were like shocked looking around. And then, of course, we just started laughing and cracking up. It was hilarious.
Eggshell shrapnel in your face.
Yeah. Well, there's no eggshell. He was actually cooking an open egg. I'm sorry.
Nope.
There was not. The shell was gone. Hey, we knew that much. We knew to take the shell off of it. Jiminy, you thought bad of us crickets.
You never know. No, I've done that.
Oh.
Trying to boil an egg in a microwave. That's not good.
Oh, no. That's a bad, that's bad thing. Remember the popcorn, Jiffy Popcorn?
Yes.
Boy, yeah. Those guys, they were... Man, when they saw microwave come out, they said, it's over. It is over.
That's how it was, right? For 3 hours, you're shaking over this thing. It's like, I'm tired. I don't care if it pops or not. You got to shake it back and forth.
Thing over the...
Yeah. I cooked some in a campfire way back then, and all I had left was a ring. Just a little metal ring that goes around it.
Torched it.
Life is... But think about it. Today, we just look at everything and just say, hurry.
Yeah.
We go into stores, and of course, we don't go raise the cow. But we no longer go to the meat counter and say, give me a slice of that. We say, cook it for me so when I show up, put it in a bag and I'll take it home. We want them to cook for us.
Yeah.
And it's like, at what point we got to start learning these things again. If you hadn't listened to Prudent Preparation on VFN TV or watched it, you need to go watch it because we got to remember how things work. Okay. You got to remember how to read paper books again. And though the GPS system's great, imagine if it goes down for a little bit and you don't even know I have a paper map or your children's never even read a paper map or they never had to go through the thought processes of how you find yourself on a map and how you work your way to a place on a map. If all they had was type in their destination and all of a sudden the system goes, take a left, take a right, that means their brain never worked. They've never had that ability to figure things out. And that's why I like listening to certain people that people don't like listen to because they make me think.
Yeah,
they make me think. I love people who make me think, and most people don't want to think. They don't want.
There's courses in college, and not even in college, in grade school now called critical thinking. We have to give kids courses in critical thinking so that they can actually learn how to exercise their brain.
Yes.
We get these apps that tell them to do everything. It's like, let's engaged here. Let's use the brain.
And people go, why are we going to do that? Let's just go ahead and learn. There's an app for that. And if you go to Harvard Business School, you're going to sit in a room with a whole bunch of other students, and they're going to role play scenarios with a business and what's happening and how to take it from the beginning to the end, and they'll create a conflict or a scenario, and then you're going to have to figure out how to work your way as you're openly discussing dialogue. And that's how you train quality leaders.
Yeah.
It's talking, you begin to hack your way through this problem and work it out. And people's like, isn't there an app for that? It's like, you figure it out.
Exactly.
And it should be fun. Yeah, it should be fun.
Yeah, John Maxwell tells a story of a guy. He's bringing some people through the office buildings, and he sees that there's a man sitting at a table, and he's just sitting there thinking. So the lady says, "Well, what's his title? What does he do?" "Oh, he just gets paid to think." She says, "He gets paid to think?" And he said, "Oh, yeah. The last time he came up with an idea, it was $1 million bonus for us, and we made $1 million off of it. He just gets paid to think."
Yeah. Yeah, and it's true. I mean, you think about even King David had musicians, and he had these. We also had people who were thinkers. That their responsibility are thinkers. It'd be cool in D.C. if we had some thinkers. But we forced them into a political system because they're nothing but a response from the people. That they're so busy trying to satisfy the political arena that they don't have a chance to think. As a matter of fact, they even said, "We didn't have time to read the bill," and since we're not thinkers, then nobody thought Like, that's not good if you didn't read it. And they just reported this morning on CBN News that the man that helped write the health care bill says it's a train wreck happening. It's a train wreck about to happen. The man that wrote it with all the people that wrote it. And he said,
oh my goodness.
And I can't tell you his name. It was on CBN News today. Hopefully we'll get it. But that's what's going on, you know, because we're not thinking. It's it's pretty simple. I mean, even, you know, some man that may have never been to, you know, past a sixth grade education that has wisdom, that thinks, he may not use the same words, but he will be successful and prosperous because he thinks. He just thinks, you know. He totally thinks about it. I want to encourage you, don't push away from using your brain. God gave you a brain to use it, and if you don't use it, you do lose it. And you have to let go of old thoughts to have new ones. So that's called strongholds if you don't. So begin to learn new things. Take on big challenges right now while there's a chance so you can begin to be fruitful in your thinking. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those that are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.